Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday, and with me, is that Nick Mason?
It is, hello.
Wow.
Surprise, it's me.
Surprise, and what a wonderful surprise it is.
Mason. I was the masked podcaster for a moment, and then I did the big reveal.
Wow. What was your big paper mache head that you had?
Big kombucha.
The brand?
No, the concept.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A big kombucha.
No, I know what you mean, but I just thought, like, kombucha, you're in the pocket of big kombucha.
I am also. I don't drink it because it's garbage. But.
No, it's good, Mason, actually. I wish they'd pay me instead of you, quite frankly. Mason, before we talk about the things that we are going to talk about this week... Weren't we on a little something this week?
We were absolutely. We made a rare double appearance on another podcast.
That's right.
Specifically, Total Reboot with Cam and Alexi.
Mm-hmm.
They're going through a series of cool millennial movies that'll bloody blow your mind.
That's
decided to get in there and watch the movie Dark City.
Correct.
And had a heck of a time over there.
If you're familiar with like The Matrix or even the movie Dark City. It's something that you'd be interested in watching and or listening to.
Those examples are both very similar to Dark City, so that's cool, I think. Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be linked below. Thank you to Collings, who's editing this, for doing just that. This week, Mason, here's the news. I'll give you a bit of a rundown, but then I'll give you more information.
Okay, great.
Time code's below if you do want to jump to any point in particular. Not you. You have to sit through it.
Yeah, I can't do that at all.
Exactly.
Yeah,
there's big
What if I could, though? You what can't. A power I would wield.
You'd have the click remote.
The click
the
remote. Click. The, yeah.
A movie
right.
I haven't seen, but I think that's what it's about.
Mm.
So big shake-up over at Warner Brothers and DC.
I just keep clicking fast forward, and I get to the end of my life and I'm like, oh, no, I skipped past so much comic book movie news. Oh, big regrets, you know?
That's right, exactly. So
don't be like me. If I had one piece of advice for you out there, folks, don't be like me. Don't skip through the comic book and movie news. Just really embrace it and be there in the moment for the comic book movie news.
But you can skip it if you want. Also.
I mean, you can if you want. If you,
it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. If you're tight on time this week, you go to work or whatever. Yeah,
that's right. Warner Brothers, big overhaul at Warner Brothers and DC, Mason, it seems. Some Flash news, sort of.
Okay.
In addition to that, Superman's maybe getting written out of the DC universe officially.
Wow.
An update on Fantastic Beasts, Dumbledore something, etc.
Oh, was that confirmed one way or the other?
Well, which one?
That maybe there's not going to be several more Fantastic
Beasts. Oh, no, I mean that thing that happened in China.
Oh, that thing that happened.
Yeah. Doctor Strange 2 gets a rating and Morbius, of course, has got some big box office news.
I had one more thought about the Morbius post-credit sequence, which we can talk about in that segment.
We can do it. Okay, we'll still hang on to it. Yeah. And then, of course, we're going to talk...
I just can't stop thinking about the Morbius post-credit sequence.
I know that. It's always Morbius for you, isn't it? Even though I vetoed it.
That's right, even though it cannot be Morbius anymore.
Yeah, but and then we're going to talk about the movie Everything All at Once.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I'm going to keep getting that wrong.
Terrific.
Some of them will be on purpose, which I'm looking forward to talking about. Okay, Mason, let's kick things off with a story from Variety, who says Warner Brothers Discovery are exploring an overhaul of the DC entertainment sphere.
Wait, so they're called Warner Brothers Discovery now because they bought the Discovery Channel?
No, so Discovery bought Warner Brothers.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, it seems wrong, right?
It seems like it
should be the other way.
Yeah. No, it's the History Channel that is normal history during the day and then at night it's just like ancient aliens.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think
When do they do your dad's World War II history? When do they do Churchill documentaries? Is that like around dinner time?
Yeah, that'd be about...
Something to fall asleep to.
That's exactly right.
On a recliner.
Then when dad's fallen asleep because he's heard Churchill's famous speech or whatever, then you're like, get the remote, we're going to watch Ancient Aliens. But I don't know what Discovery does.
Yeah, well, they have $43 billion to buy Warner Brothers, wow. Which is what they did. So there you go. Apparently, the top leadership has been toying with the idea, this is fascinating, of turning DC into its own solidified content vertical. You know what I mean?
Oh, I hate the sound of that.
Yeah, no. So you know what that means, right?
Yeah, obviously. Movies.
Yeah.
Comic books.
Yep.
Happy Meals.
Exactly.
And put it all in together. Lunch boxes.
That's right. So people would obviously be familiar with the horizontal strategy of marketing. We're talking vertical.
This is vertical.
We're talking straight up and down.
Oh, my God.
For anybody who doesn't know, I can elaborate on this a little bit.
That gives you room to sneak around the sides.
That's right.
Horizontal, you can't do it.
Can't
it's
do
very
anything.
Inefficient. Yeah, you have to leap over it. I don't have the knees for that.
You could trip.
You could trip.
You could trip.
Yeah.
So Discovery insiders believe that although DC has achieved cinematic success with recent films such as Aquaman and The Batman, it lacks a coherent...
Sorry, the what?
The Batman. It lacks a coherent... I was defending Robert Pattinson in a group chat today. It's like, I'm loving The Batman. I'm not liking this emo Robert Pattinson. I'm like, get fucked. He's great, actually. You know what the fuck you're talking? This is my bread and butter, and you're wrong.
You got to get out of that group chat. I've never heard a positive story from that group chat, honestly. It's always like, you never believe what happened in this group chat. And I'm like, you don't have to be in there.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
I guess you do, though, because you stop getting, if you leave the group chat, you'll stop getting invited to events you don't want to be at. So
what do I do, you know? Yeah. So apparently, though, it lacks a coherent creative brand strategy.
Probably because of its horizontality.
Exactly, yeah. So Discovery believes that several top-shelf characters, such as Superman, have been left to languish and need to be revitalized. They also believe projects like Todd Phillips's Joker are a shiny example of how second-build characters from the DC library can and should be exploited. That's their words. Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn is apparently another example. They've been trying to do that, I feel.
Let me tell you a few things about that statement, James. First of all, they're absolutely bloody right, first of all, about letting Superman languish. He has been.
Yeah.
So hats off to you. Tip of the hat to you, Discovery.
You want to go vertical because he's an up and down character.
He's going up and down.
As in, like, he's straight up and down, you know what I mean? He's telling the truth and he's flying up and down.
He's flying up and down. They're like, we should introduce some rings for him to fly through and a kryptonite fog.
That's horizontal.
But also...
You're thinking too horizontal.
Now, that is quite horizontal, isn't it? The other thing there is I love how they think the Joker is a second-tier character.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, you haven't been on this job long enough if you think that the... Like the, you're scraping the bottom of a barrel with a second tier character like the Joker.
Yeah.
Oh no.
He's like,
tell me when you make a Ten-Eyed Man movie, then give me a call. Then you're scraping the bottom
of the
barrel.
You're absolutely right. Like top five DC, top three. He's probably in the top three. Really. Uh-huh. Yeah. They also want to get disparate efforts of
Condiment King.
Yeah, there you go. Disparate efforts of TV and film to line up to maximize market value. Like Marvel are doing.
Okay.
So they're looking for the words that they used in this article were, they're Kevin Feige.
See, the thing
Give it to me.
Oh, man, I would have... Sorry, I had another thought, but I shouldn't have had another thought. I should have just called it. It doesn't sound that different from what they're already doing.
Yeah, I guess they're looking for a singular universe.
Sure, but also, like Joker, an unconnected character.
Yes.
Great.
I think it's also that I don't think
I used to have a job where I worked in a shop, like a department store.
Good
I know,
for you.
And like once every
I know this by the way, you're telling me
because
I know
you. This. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But like once every 6 to 8 months, they would like reorganize the entire store. They would like change all the like they would move all the departments
Why?
Around. Well, I think it was just they're like, well, actually, it's for you know for actually for purposes of summer, we want to have the summer items towards the
but
front.
But it would take like shifting everything.
They have to
like
move everything.
Are the electronics that you know that do all like don't work.
Mm.
Do they need to be moved?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was just like rearranging deck chairs in the Titanic. But it was just like and we'd do it while the store was being opened. Like we would do it while the store was open.
So people are like confused.
And then people would show up and be like, where's the department I always go to? And I have to be like, it's over. They've moved it to the other side of the store. But basically, it's just to show they were doing something. Like it was to show manage. Like, because if upper management came down and was like, what have you been doing the last 6 months? And they're like, nothing. they'd get into trouble. So they're like, we reorganized everything for maximum whatever. That's this.
Verticality.
Verticality. That's this. It's just like, all we need to do is we need to make some TV shows and some movies. And we want to use popular characters like Superman, but also less popular characters like Joker. And there's going to be TV shows as well.
And it has to be linked, like Marvel.
And if only we had some sort of streaming service we could put DC television shows on. Wouldn't that be incredible? It'd be like a home box office. A maximum home box office.
It's really...
What are you doing? You're not doing anything, Discovery, you idiots. I've changed my tune. You've lost your minds.
It's interesting because...
And I'll do it. And I'll be Kevin Feige.
They've also tried this. Like, this is how they started.
Kevin Feige.
Well, they remember they wanted...
Like Wario.
Yeah, but they like...
DC, like, but they... You get what I'm saying,
It was like a Zack... Very good. It was like a Zack Snyder...
He's not fully taken on
board. No, it's very good.
I'll let him finish
Sorry.
His...
Sorry. It's very good.
I'll let him finish his thought, but then I'll point out that, they need it. DC Kevin Feige would be like Wario. to Kevin Feige's Mario.
I get it. And it's very good.
No, you can't hear this. You can't hear this. I'm telling the listeners.
Okay.
Anyway, can you finish your thought?
Yeah, so basically...
I'm listening.
They did this already with Jeff Johns and Zack Snyder, and then they kept intervening and it became a mess, right? So that's what they were initially starting with.
And that was horizontal.
Yes. Okay. And the Flash, probably. And the Flash is ending, apparently. That's ending soon. So a lot of their TV stuff, but not all of it, is wrapping up or changing. You know what I mean? So apparently also they're more interested in someone, and this speaks to exactly what you were talking about, in someone who can keep everything aligned rather than a creative guru. So they basically want someone who can run between departments and make sure everybody's doing their job properly. And if like, you know, so TV speaking of film and speaking of whatever. Uh-huh. Comics are speaking of video games.
It sounds like they want a Kevin Feige, but they don't want someone who has the power of a Kevin Feige.
Oh, they want just someone they can...
They just want an intern they can bully. They can just keep running up and down the halls.
Yeah.
We're going to use... They're going to use Superman in this movie. You're going to use him in the TV show? No, okay. Cool, just... Don't you do it. Oh, they've done it. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
And I'm tired.
I'm so tired.
Apparently they went to Emma Watts, who's a former executive over at Fox and Paramount, but she is not interested. And like I said before, the give it to me. No, this would be a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Because there's so much of this that is already beloved and also so much that people hate, and the things that people love or hate are different.
It's true.
So it's like...
But sometimes the same.
Yeah.
Sometimes within the same person.
Yeah. So you have to... With Marvel, they had the advantage of being the first to do it and starting pretty much from scratch.
Yeah.
Obviously, there had been Marvel movies, but the MCU kicked off something new.
Yeah.
There is a lot of, for good or bad, there's a lot of baggage in this universe.
Mm.
And this isn't a clean start. There's still things going.
Yeah.
Peacemaker's going, which has been off of Suicide Squad, which is a movie people like but didn't make money.
Yeah.
The Joker was one and done, or is it? Or are they making a sequel?
Uh-huh.
The Flash is connecting to the movie universe, I think, the TV show. But also that show is ending, but also the Flash as a movie is in trouble, as we've been talking about.
And also, a real rod for your back, the real looming threat, of course, is that the greatest movie moment of all time was that when the Flash entered the Speed Force in Zack Snyder's Justice League. So you... Like, that's a whole, that's a real situation there.
Boy, is it.
Because I imagine in the interview process, they just show you the hashtag Restore the Snyderverse on a big bit of paper. And they're like, can you deal with this? Because you're going to have to every day.
Yeah.
Every tweet you make, there's going to be 1,000 responses underneath that are just that. Is
exactly.
that okay with you?
Yeah. That's going to be your life.
Mm.
On top of that, this is via Viewer Anon, which is a Twitter account which deals with scoops, since deleted.
So you know it's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Hot and fresh and good.
It claims that the Flash...
Juicy.
That the Flash will include a post-credit scene where Barry Allen mentions Superman to Aquaman, and Aquaman is like, I don't know who that is.
Wow.
So they're resetting the universe to kick out Superman officially.
But temporarily, you
would
imagine.
Well, that and also, like, if we're doing vertical marketing branding synergy strategies, then that won't happen. Because they want to put Superman back in, but also
maybe they just want him as the TV character currently.
And but also J.J. Abrams is doing a Superman movie.
Sounds to me, James, I don't know if you've encountered one of these recently. Sounds to me like a post-credit sequence where they don't know what it means and they're just putting it in there because it's a shocking thing.
It is a shocking thing.
It's very much a shocking thing. Also, that would suggest, because if you recall Justice League, the theatrical release of Justice League, which...
It's my favourite movie.
Which... Currently is still the canonical Justice League of this particular cinematic universe. At the end of that movie, all the other heroes are just sort of holding Steppenwolf at bay, and then Superman just shows up and cleans his clock instantly.
Yeah.
What happened in this universe then if he wasn't there?
I mean, we know that he recently showed up in Peacemaker.
Yeah.
I mean, he's silhouetted.
Yes, that's right. Maybe it was Shazam.
Maybe it was Shazam.
Did you see the, definitively see the S shield on the suit?
I think, no, it is. They confirmed that it is, yeah.
But is it though?
Well, I guess they could change
it. Like, yeah. if we didn't see that it was definitively Superman, it could be any number of Superman lookalikes. It could be Mon-El.
It feels like they're letting go or are people who are stepping away from these properties. Like,
could have been the Martian Manhunter.
Like, it's the wrong people. The fact that they're like, we're not doing Henry Cavill Superman anymore. But it's like, you know, like, people like that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They might not have been the most financially successful movies, though generally, like, they've done well. Not, I think they were looking for, like, an Iron Man numbers. You know, Iron Man 3 in particular. But, like, people like him. Mm. Like, the problem with that Superman is that people have is not him. No one's ever like, no, he sucks.
That's right.
Everybody likes him. Mm-hmm. What did he do is my point.
Great point, yeah.
I'm just going to blame him. Mm-hmm. What did you do, Cavill? So, anyway, we'll just see how this shakes out over the next couple of years, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's
also, to finish my thought, DC are looking for a Wario.
Yeah, they could play tennis together.
Yes, that's true. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's fun. Yeah, that took. Oh yeah, now I get it. I didn't get it, but
yeah,
now
but
I
now
get
you
it.
Get it, right? And Feige be like, yeah, actually, so for you know, for Phase 5, we're thinking of you know combining the cosmic, you know, characters and maybe in like the magic characters.
Okay.
What do you think about that? And the DC guy be like, wah, you know.
I get it. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But he's not the Penguin.
No,
he's Wario.
Ooh, he probably has penguin-like elements.
Yeah, but he is Wario, though.
He's Wario, yeah.
Very
yeah.
good. Wow, that's a lot of news in just up top. Mm-hmm. Mason, let's talk about what do we got here? So this is via Bleeding Cool. There was a Flash prequel comic, a prequel to the movie, which was apparently going to come out April 26th, but printing for that have been stopped, given the no-go.
Oh,
right?
Popped.
It's been, like, theorized that...
They were going to put some of Ezra Miller's blood in it.
That's right.
Dude, they were going to do it Kiss style.
Oh, no. That this is because of Ezra Miller's recent actions, mm-hmm. right? But the artist on that one, Ferreira, came out and said on Twitter, nope, it will be printed later this year, so there won't be so much of a gap between the comic and the movie. So good to see Warner Brothers again taking a hard stance on something.
That's right. Or as I call them, Warner Brothers.
Very good.
Because yeah. Wario works there now.
They're going to have to address this sooner or later. Or not. Can you just ignore it?
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strange.
Maybe there's a guy. They need a guy to be like, nah, just ignore it. It's fine, probably.
Yeah, it's fine, probably. Mm. So there you go. Look, that's probably... And also, like, that makes sense for the people who worked on that comic. Like, that's unfair that someone does something terrible and then your work gets thrown in the bin.
That's true.
That sucks.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, here we go. This is via Deadline. Oh, here's some more good news. So Warner Brothers, again. So the Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore. If you've come for a review of that movie because you're in the US and it just came out last week's episode. We did a full breakdown about that movie. Yeah, we did, and how it's mostly about a magical horse that picks the President of Magic. Mm-hmm. President of Magic being a character that I don't know previously existed in the...
But you knew in your heart probably would have existed, right?
No, I thought like, you know, like the way the world is structured, like different countries had different... Presidents.
Nah,
and stuff.
Just one guy.
Horse picks.
Yeah,
magic
that's right.
horse picks.
Look, we already covered it, and we definitively solved the problem of the horse picking the president.
I don't think we did.
No, we did.
Yeah, but apparently though, so it was this movie was released in China in the past week, and in doing so, they removed the references of the same sex relationship between the two threequels lead characters. That being Dumbledore and Grindelwald, right? Mm. So the Chinese censors requested a cut, which Warner Brothers, according to a studio spokesman, accepted to comply with local requirements, adding that the spirit of the film remains intact.
Man, they must
have... Yeah, I mean, it still sucks. Didn't make it worse.
James, they must have really chewed up the runtime with all those edits.
Oh, mate, you're not wrong. So two lines were removed, 6 seconds of dialogue. One was because I was in love with you and the summer that Geralt and I fell in love.
I knew it.
Yeah, so there you go. The first line is dialogue and the second is voiceover. Now, from a business perspective, this is a decision that I entirely understand.
Is this a horizontal business decision?
Yeah, I think so. Well, like a big stack of money.
Yeah.
Because it's already made $10 million. They've also got a bunch of cinemas closed due to COVID. But Fantastic Beasts and look at these creatures, look at this case, look at it. That made $85 million in China.
Okay.
The Last Crimes of Grindelwald made $57 million,
okay,
inexplicably. So for some reason, this is a franchise that China likes.
Okay.
I don't know, because don't they not like magic and ghosts or something? Isn't that?
I couldn't say.
No, it's ghosts. They don't like ghosts. There's ghosts in Harry Potter. But Harry Potter's always been a big franchise in China, right? So they're going, well, if we take out these 6 seconds, we can make $50 million.
Right, yeah.
That's
what's
happened here. But also, boo.
I agree, yeah.
Like, it's just the idea of like, nah, this, you know, we don't need, these people don't exist, and let's not, you know, let's not harp on about this, harping on. Like, it's like nothing dialogue as well, you know what I mean?
Agreed, yeah.
But again, like, I understand it, but.
We didn't even really touch upon that they replaced Johnny Depp with Mads Mikkelsen, and there's no explanation for it. Nobody even says, you look different now.
Yeah, they did with Dumbledore.
Did they?
Dumbledore died.
Oh, I guess they did, yeah.
Yeah, so it does happen.
Yeah, but old guys all look the same.
Yeah, that's true. Old guys all look the same. If you're an old guy out there, you look. We don't know what you look like. A different old guy.
Yep.
Is that right?
Agreed.
Thanks. I was just going with the thing that you said.
Yeah.
I was doing a riff, Mason, and it didn't really go.
That was great. No, nothing. No, I think you did really well there.
Oh, thank God. Doctor Strange 2 has a rating. It's PG-13.
Oh, for some supernatural violence. Probably.
Intense sequence of violence and action, frightening images, and some language.
Uh-oh.
So there you go. That's coming up. So when's that? That's going to be a few weeks away, isn't it? That's out on the 4th, I believe. The critic screening of that, well, there is none, so it's going to be the premiere on May 2nd.
Oh.
So I don't think that means it's bad. I think it means there's like 400 cameos in it.
Yeah, and they have to, they cannot trust anyone at this point, reviewers or the general public, not to immediately go on.
You can trust us, though. Tell us.
Yeah, we won't tell.
Just give it. Send us a list of cameos.
Yeah.
I don't even want to see the movie.
Well, and we are so strong-willed, we will simply print it out and place it on the table, and we will not read from it.
That's right.
At any point during any upcoming podcast.
Correct. And that's fun, isn't it?
Mm.
Let's do some.
But we will allude to them, every single one.
Oh, we'll have to.
Yeah.
We'll have to. I'm not going to not. Yeah, I've got the list,
yes,
Mason.
Yes.
This one's via Forbes. I know Morbius is over, but this is Morbius news. So on its second Friday opening, it made $2.93 million, tying it with Dark Phoenix for an estimated 83% drop-off, an unprecedented Friday-to-Friday drop-off.
That's unprecedented.
Morbius is also expected to make...
I mean, it's precedented because of Dark Phoenix.
That's right. So it's got... Apparently expected to make just shy of $10 million in its second weekend. That is a 73.9% drop-off. And that's the...
Why, that's unprecedented.
Well, that's also the biggest second week drop-off for any comic book movie ever.
Oh, no.
So it's worse than... I'll give you some examples. Fantastic.
Okay.
It's worse than the last two X-Men movies, whichever ones those ones were. Mm-hmm. It's worse than... What's another bad thing? Steel, I guess. Steel's not good.
Sure.
But like percentage-wise, it's worse than Steel.
We don't know what their drop-off was like.
Worse than Green Lantern.
Whoa.
It's atrocious.
Oh, I guess in a way it's worse than literally every other superhero movie. So
those are some examples.
Those are bad, yeah. It's worse than Spawn probably.
Yeah, I mean, who's shocked by this?
Not me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that it's the lowest because that movie, you know.
It's teaching people a valuable lesson.
I think so, yeah.
That you can't just make some generic garbage and then... Be like, well, but if you stick around for the post credit sequences, that's worth the price of admission. No, it's not.
No.
I mean, this one kind of is, but also just watch it on YouTube. No, it's not. It's really not.
Yeah, just look it up.
Mm.
Just read a description of it.
But if I may, James, I had another thought about that.
Oh yeah, that's
right.
Is this Mason's one bit of news?
No, it's not my bit of news.
Well, then you need a one bit of news. You're gonna almost two bits of news next week.
Then it's my one bit of news. So I've been thinking about the post credit sequence and spoilers for the post credit sequence of Morbius. If you haven't seen it, we're gonna get into it right now.
I don't think people aren't seeing it now. It's done.
No, that's true.
So if you haven't seen it, it's not happening.
Exactly. That when Morbius goes into the desert and then the vulture shows up to meet him in the desert, it is insane that his first line of dialogue isn't, my wife and daughter are in another dimension and I'm desperate to get back to them and I will do anything.
Yeah.
Like it also shocked me a little bit that I didn't think of that until a week later.
Well, because there's so many other things to unpack.
Yeah.
Even to say that and then go, this is something to do with Spider-Man. Can you help me? You can even work in your little Spider-Man reference if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But no.
But first of all, maybe we talk about this, but how... Why would you think it has something to do with Spider-Man? I mean, the only reason this is it because it's their only mutual friend. Spider-Man. But it could, like, Spider-Man's not known for dimensional stuff.
No.
But my point is that it speaks to my bad character that I didn't immediately go, well, like, his entire motivation in the movie he was in was to provide for his family, and then the big dogs took his business away, so he turned to crime.
Yep.
But in this, he's just like, they were like, let him keep his motivation? And they're like, nah, just make him a cartoon character.
Yeah.
Just whatever.
Maybe this has something to do with Spider-Man.
I also had the thought, maybe he only has a wife and daughter in the MCU. Like, he's legally not allowed to have, like, maybe Sony only own a version of the Vulture that doesn't have any family.
Yeah, maybe. Well, Liz Allen is a Spider-Man character, so she'd have to, that's a great question.
Yeah. Anyway, I just think it's just really good stuff.
Yeah.
Just don't give him, a real three-dimensional character of any kind. Why would you bother? Great.
Like, legally in this universe, Sony won't allow me to have wife and kids. So that's why I need to get back to the MCU.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic stuff. Also, that's an opinion. That's not a one piece of news. So
that's true.
That's going to be, you owe us two bits of news next week.
Oh, man. What if I come up with a bit of news
before the end episode? Of the show?
Yeah, before the end of the show. Yeah, cool. Great.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mason, before we do, everything is always happening every moment of every day.
Yes.
Is it true by the glint in your eye that you do in fact have one bit of news?
I do have one bit of news. And just a little peek behind the curtain, folks.
Yeah.
We recorded the start of this episode and the end of this episode several days ago.
That's right.
And now we're back to talk about the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once. But isn't that appropriate?
Yeah,
it's
it really
about
is.
Fragmented whatevers. But in the meantime.
Yeah.
So also just at some point in the last, at some point several days ago, you proposed, maybe it'll be coming up later in the episode.
Okay.
You proposed a system whereby if I fail to provide one bit of news, perhaps a number of times in a row, then you get another veto.
Yes,
you're allowed to veto a riff.
Like,
and
Danny
I was vehemently against it because I didn't have one bit of news, but I've reconsidered it.
Okay.
I think if I here's how it'll have to work. If I fail to provide five bits of one bit of news.
In a row or in total?
I think in total.
Okay.
Because in a row, it'd be like,
that's not going to happen.
No, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
But then you can get one more veto. Because I think it's fun to see how much fun you enjoy killing on this podcast, James.
Oh, yeah, I love killing fun.
Yeah, you love killing fun.
Anyway, what's your one bit of news?
Well, this is a one bit of news from comicbookmovie.com.
Oh, my God, this is big news.
The unbearable weight of massive talent star Nicolas Cage asked for help retrieving his stolen comic books.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
And what's going on with that?
Well, I just noticed this. Because some years ago I did an episode of Do Go On where we talked about
It was a heist? Was that
right?
Yeah,
well, among other things, we talked about Detective Comics and we talked about the origin of Superman. But intertwined, I found a delightful article by someone whose name I cannot recall.
Was it me?
No, it wasn't you. You don't write articles.
Oh, okay.
What would be the odds that you wrote one article and then you forgot about it?
I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, but it was about the time that Nicolas Cage's house was burgled and all the, burgled. But all the thieves took was some very, very valuable sort of vintage DC comics that he left in locked cases with the key right next to them.
Yeah, right.
So, but he's in a promo tweet. You can track this down on Twitter. He's provided a tip line number if you want to call up, if you have any information about these missing comic books, because they retrieved one of them, I think.
Yeah, and didn't he sell it like immediately?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think he got back Detective Comics 27, which is the first appearance of Batman. That never returned.
Why didn't they call it Batman number one? Or Batman's here. He's going to be big, actually.
Oh, yeah, nice.
It's going to be
We've got an inkling.
There's going to be a big movie.
That's right.
We think.
Just one.
Just one, yeah.
He said, I just want to get my comic books back. Describing them as treasures that are in the $10 million range. He added that the money generated from selling them could be donated to charity, and the video has a tip line number. We've tried it and it doesn't work, according to this article. But this might prompt someone to come forward with any information they have.
Yeah, absolutely. They're long gone. When did that happen?
That happened...
Like late 90s?
Happened when he was in the running to be Superman. That's why he had
96, 97.
Yeah, that's why he had all the comic books, because he was doing research. And also they were a thing to buy.
They're gone.
You reckon?
Yes.
I mean, they're not... Do you mean gone in the sense that some... collector has them or
yeah, some collectors, or they've just been shuffled around so much.
Yeah. Or maybe somebody panicked and just tossed them in a river or
maybe
something.
Maybe
like
they
that.
Did. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah. Like, I don't know, I reckon that's probably like 8 to 12 people removed. And what would anybody get out of that by coming forward and being like, yeah, I did that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what
right.
I mean? Or somebody, and even if you'd said, I know this person took them. It was
speaking of a guy who did that.
Yeah.
Have I ever told you my do you know that I'm a Jason Todd truther? Are you aware of that concept?
As in that, what does that mean
so,
exactly?
So you know, so in the 80s DC, I'll give you a very short version, but you would know this. In the 80s DC decided to increase engagement from their readership. What they would do is they would let their readers decide whether or not Jason Todd, the second Robin, would live or die.
Yeah.
And in order to determine that, they set up 2-1-900 numbers, and you could call one if you wanted him to live, and you could call one if you wanted him to die. And at the once the time was up, it was like by some tiny margin, it was like 60 or 70 votes. It was Jason Todd is going to die.
Yeah.
And then years later, representatives of DC in interviews were like, we heard there was a guy, and he programmed his computer to just constantly call the Jason Todd should die number.
Right, okay, yeah.
Like, you know, every 90 seconds for 8 hours or something, which is hundreds of votes, which would have tipped the scales over.
Yes.
And, like, over the years they were like, oh, we heard he was a lawyer. Oh, we heard he used a Mac.
Oh.
We heard he lived in California. Like, it's all this sort of stuff. And it's like, I don't think that guy existed. That's what, number one, here's my two.
Where does the story come from?
Well, it came from Denny O'Neill, who was the Batman group editor at the time.
But how would he know that a guy's
doing
that?
We don't know. He just heard the thing, okay, so I don't know. Yeah. But here's the thing. I think two things. I think, one, that guy didn't exist, and I think, two, they were going to kill Jason Todd no matter what.
Yeah, right.
Firstly,
yeah.
Because imagine if...
I think that's...
Yeah, true, like imagine if they'd done this thing and the votes had said, Jason Todd lives.
Yeah.
People would go, oh, so a character in a genre where everybody lives all the time is going to live?
That's
what
not
a revelation.
Yeah.
That's not interesting. And also, if you were that guy...
Yeah.
If you were so invested in this character that you wanted to kill him,
mm.
by now you'd be like, that was me.
I did that,
yeah. Right?
Because you're not going to jail for that.
No, that's true. And like at this point, Jason Todd has both died and come back.
Yeah.
And he's now kind of a character that is on...
You'd be like, well, I...
Yeah, he's in animation and he's in video games and lunchboxes and action figures
maybe
and all this sort of
maybe
stuff.
Maybe they cut you a check. They wouldn't. But maybe
they wouldn't.
Cut
they
you
would
a
100%
check.
Not cut you a check. But I think maybe then you wouldn't, because there was a backlash to the backlash. People were like, how dare you kill this character?
Yeah,
we actually liked
him.
And I think maybe then you wouldn't have. But I reckon enough times passed, you'd be like, yeah, that was me actually.
Unless he's dead.
He might be dead. I also considered that.
But if it did happen, it would have been a dude.
Yes, 100%. Yes. Does anybody know out there? I would love to know.
Oh, wow. Like, have you got a hot tip line?
If Yeah, it's the, whatever the Nick Cage one is, the same one. Just call it up and be like, I don't have any information about the comics, but I reckon this guy didn't really exist.
Weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
If you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But surely he would have told somebody.
Well, he could have died.
I know.
If he's a guy, which yes. he is.
If he but exists. If he was a woman, lived forever.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Evolved into a higher being of energy.
Maybe it's somebody who just went, I did my work and now I step back from the public spotlight.
Wow.
Yeah, how many votes was it? It wasn't that many, was it?
It was like in the tens of thousands, I think.
Yeah.
And yeah, the difference was like 60 or 70 votes. It was some very small amount, which is why it's because if that takes the heat off DC, because then they could just be like, well, you know, a guy did it.
Yeah.
Some guy did it.
Yeah.
And it's not our fault.
Also, I don't believe that it would have been skewed so far to him living. Mm-hmm. That then somebody would have to ring thousands of times to skew it the other way.
Right.
I think it would have been, if it was official and legit, more even and close, or Jason Todd is killed, like, overwhelmingly.
Yeah, right.
I don't think it would be the other.
Because you'd be more inclined to call, I think, if you did want him dead.
Yeah.
I guess. Exactly. I don't know. Anyway, I want to see DC's phone records is what I'm saying.
Give us your
phone. Give us your phone
Give
records,
us all
your DC. Give us every one of your phones. You know those old
Put them in the bag.
You know those all those 1980s phones that you just stuck in a bunch of milk crates and you put them in the back of the DC office. Just give them to me. I'm going to examine them. I'm going to dust them for prints.
I would love if you stormed into the DC office in a balaclava, took everybody's phones, and then that became an urban legend.
Sure.
This guy stormed in. Demanding all our landlines. I don't know what he needed them for. Anyways.
Yeah.
Mason, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
My goodness.
A movie that is opening in select cinemas around the globe. I had to go to a special Fancy Man cinema.
I went to the same Fancy Man cinema. That's my regular cinema am a fancy man.
You're a fancy man.
It's close.
Yes. Mm. Clay used to work there, so I've spent a lot of time there as a youth. You know what I mean?
Go out with me.
Claire.
How many got out with it, Claire?
You had to give me a popcorn for free. I want a Coke, no ice. I don't want to water down. I want all Coke, no ice. Big large popcorn.
Nice.
Fresh. Make it fresh. So this has a budget of $25 million, which goes a long way.
Yeah. I was also going to say, apparently... It is the release is expanding. I think I saw a tweet a couple of days ago that was like, in the US it's going to 2,000 more theaters and what have you. Financially, I'm not sure how well it's doing.
Well,
I think
at the moment, it's only got 13.8 million worldwide. But I think that will change. I think it'll do super well in streaming as well. So what do you think the story was? Also, I didn't know really anything about this going in, and I purposely didn't watch anything because people were like, this is amazing, blow your mind, you'll kill yourself. You'll kill yourself, you'll like it so much. And so I think everybody who doesn't know should experience it like that. You should see it.
Yes.
And you should stop the review if you want to.
Yeah, I think just the idea, like us discussing the basic premise will be spoilery in some way. I think if you
we'll keep that very vague also.
Yeah, I think if you like superhero stuff.
Yep.
And you don't take it all that seriously.
Yeah.
I think you'll enjoy this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it starts as like... a low-key, like, family drama.
And it is still that for a lot of it.
And it is that.
Yeah.
And, you know, they run a laundromat and, you know, it's tax time and everyone knows how difficult that is.
Oh, my God.
But then there are a series of other things that happen throughout the film.
So the delightful Michelle Yeoh plays Evelyn, who, as you mentioned...
If you didn't know what it was, though, you'd be like, is this, like, just some indie... drama.
Yeah, is it The Farewell with like Awkwafina or whatever?
Exactly. Who was supposed to be in this at one point, actually. Yeah.
So she plays Evelyn. She runs a laundromat with her husband and then above the laundromat they live with their daughter.
Sorry, my brother's bloody messaging.
Which one?
Which one do you think?
The one, actually I don't know. It's Easter.
Yeah.
The one I don't like.
My brother said you got to set the second controller as guest, you dumbass.
Oh, so it is the one I don't like.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to – never mind. It's a whole thing. Don't worry about it.
The one I do like wouldn't know any of that
No,
stuff,
he absolutely does.
Which is why I like him so much.
Yeah.
they live upstairs of this busy laundromat. Let me think. Okay, so number one.
Yep.
Her estranged elderly father is coming to visit from China and he's probably going to judge her lifestyle and her success.
I thought he was dead. Not in the movie. I'm like, is this a dead man? The Weekend of Bernie style. The actor.
Yeah.
Who's in, what's his name? He's in Big Trouble in Little Chinatown. He's in a bunch of stuff. He's been in like 600 movies.
He has been in 600 movies.
I was reading a bunch of stuff beforehand. James Hong. There we go. I should have remembered that because he's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's coming to town. He's gonna be judging, you know, how successful she is and et cetera. And she shouldn't, she's made the wrong choices and et cetera.
Yes,
she's going to judge the daughter's relationship with another woman. They're being audited by the IRS. There's a big party. She's arranged a big Chinese New Year party. Who's going to arrive? It's very complicated. Her relationship with her husband and her daughter, very strained, it seems.
Yes.
James, what else could go wrong? There's a multiverse and it's unraveling.
That's right, exactly.
There it is.
To what extent? Well, just everything, all of it, at once, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
What I found interesting about this was, first of all, a couple of things. We're not going to do full spoilers, but we will do full
spoilers.
We'll
try not to, yes.
Yeah. But if you want to skip to full spoilers, there are time codes.
Sure.
So why would you? But if I like got this script,
uh-huh.
I don't know whether you could fully comprehend what they were, the Daniels who directed this movie, and uh-huh. they did Swiss Army Man,
which
I still haven't seen, which I'm 100% going to watch this week, I hope. I don't know if I could like, yeah, you know, who knows. I don't know whether I could like comprehend it necessarily. Do you
right,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like, there's so much about this and multiple things happening at once. And visually it's very, like there's a lot of things which I feel like you couldn't explain in a script.
Yeah, right, uh-huh.
And then you'd have to have those ideas in your head and then also be able to then execute them.
It would, feels to me like, we've talked about this before, but like, you know, in an era of like, if you were an actor and you went onto a set and it was just all green screen, you'd be like, is this movie going to be any good?
Yeah.
Like I feel that it sort of could be the same, like at the script level, you'd be like, this could be amazing or it could be a total mess.
Yeah. Well, know? Michelle Yeoh, who is the star of this or one of the stars, so like I've seen a few interviews where she talks, a lot of interviews, where she'd, down a bit of a rabbit hole. We're talking about this and how, like the script, she was just like blown away by it. And it was also a matter of like, are these guys serious about this? This is a real thing. But she's like, it's really a display of all of my abilities.
Well, exactly.
Because it spans genres. You get everything.
All sorts of stuff. And it's also interesting in that she is, you know, a Chinese actress of a certain age.
Yes.
The idea of just making her the star of this when you could have gotten one of
Nicolas
the Chris's.
Nicolas Cage. Well, that's the thing also because initially they were going to make the lead Jackie Chan. Her role was for Jackie Chan.
Yeah, right.
And he's great. And he would have pulled off, I think, all of this.
Mm.
But I think there's something about her and the fact that she's turning 60. And this is another thing I saw in an interview where it's about an older or an aging Asian lady and an immigrant who somebody you just might pass in the street, you know, any day of the week. But they've got this whole amazing backstory, like coming to, like, for example, in this movie, to America with dreams and hopes and looking to achieve the American dream. And how did that go? Do you know what I mean?
Mm, yeah.
And you don't see characters really like that in a movie like this. You might see it in like an indie kind of
but
situation.
But 99% of this kind of movie, it would be a Chris Evans type probably.
Yeah.
And he's in his 30s, but he just can't get it together. I mean, he's very handsome and he lives in a $1 million loft.
Yeah.
And he drives a big American muscle car or whatever, but he can't get it together.
And a lot of times, like, if somebody turns up and tells you the most special person in the world, like you're James McAvoy in the movie Wanted, or do you know what I mean, or something like that, you know? And the fact that
You're Johnny Push.
Johnny Push. Yeah, exactly. So I thought, yeah, that's one of the strengths of this, like, huge part of that movie, among many other things. And the way that they executed this, again, it's like, it's so specific and direct. And there's so many moments that flash by for like a split second. Like you might get like images of like the one character.
Mm-hmm.
You might get 50 images. And in every image, they're dressed differently with different makeup, different location, whatever. And just the effort that goes in, like a lot of people have compared this to The Matrix, but I think there's a bunch of Monty Python in this and like Terry Gilliam and Douglas Adams.
Yeah, I was going to say Hitchhiker's
Guide to
the Galaxy.
There's so much like of that in this as well.
Yeah, there's a sort of a mechanism that doesn't really make any sense. Also, if you're absolutely hung up on whether a movie's sort of incredible sci-fi mechanic works, I don't know if this is going to work.
I don't know
if it does or doesn't. I think now that I know what it is, I think I'd have to go back and watch it again, but I didn't have enough time. But like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the characters spend a lot of time on a ship, which I think is called the Heart of Gold, and it runs on an infinite improbability drive.
Yeah, so
and that's sort of
the least likely thing to happen will happen, like that will occur. Is that
something
right?
Something like yeah, that.
Something
yes.
like that. And it's like, yeah, there's an element of that
yeah.
to this. There was like a moment, a fleeting moment in this movie where it was really kicking off, where I thought to myself, I'm like, is my brain too old for this?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, there's a lot going on here, and I'm pretty sure I'm keeping up, but am I?
Mm.
But also at the same time, I think this movie does a really good job of ramping up, like, the world building and yeah. how things work. So by the time you are, like, well into it, you get it.
Yeah, you, know you get it. I mean? Exactly,
if you're paying
yeah.
attention,
yeah.
you get it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
But there was a moment where I'm like, maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm old. But no, I didn't. That was a very fleeting moment. I also want to talk about Ki-Hoo Kwan, who people might know.
Well, he's the doting husband
yes.
in this movie, but he is also most famously to us, he's yeah. Short Round.
He's Short Round.
In Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
So he's now 50, and he hasn't acted really. I think he's done a couple of TV things
yeah,
more recently.
Yeah, he did some sitcom stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
He probably did the Big Bang Theory as himself.
Oh, yeah,
something.
Maybe, yeah.
yeah. But he hasn't really acted since the 90s. And one of the reasons yeah. why he quit was because I was, again, reading about his backstory, was that there wasn't really any opportunities for him as an Asian actor. Like, he's in Encino Man. I don't know if you remember that. He's just like a background
yeah,
like
right.
student.
He's in the Goonies as
he's
well?
In the, yeah, he's main character in the Goonies. But he went to Hong Kong and various other places and worked as a fight choreographer and assistant director for like 20 years.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
why we haven't seen him.
Yeah, right.
So he wasn't really getting roles that he liked, so he just quit. But then he saw Crazy Rich Asians, and uh-huh. he was like, oh, shit, like I would have loved to have been a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And also like, there was a lot, and Michelle Yeoh's in that as well,
yeah,
and mm-hmm. where she was talking about, there was a lot of pressure on that movie because if it didn't do well, you can see the studio reaction would have been like, well, this doesn't work, an all-Asian cast, so let's not do
let's
anything
do
like
again,
this
yeah.
ever again. But it made $800 million or whatever it was. So, yeah, then he, you know, in deciding to come back, he, you know, he got this script and then he went through, like, acting coaches and dialect coaches and because he plays multiple people and it's like even his posture changes and multiple people play multiple people in this.
Yeah.
And he was fucking awesome.
Well, yeah.
And there's a little, you see, like, little bits of Short Round in him as well.
Sure,
like
yeah.
some of his characters are like, mm-hmm. that's very Short Round. Oh, because also he is Short Round. So
that's true, yes.
But he was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, he was really, really impressive.
Now, James, do you think this will somehow add fuel to the fire of bring back Short Round in an Indiana
look,
Jones movie?
I've been on the bring back Short Round like train for ages, but I was always like,
you've been whipping.
Yeah, exactly.
You've been ducking under tunnels.
So it's my brother again.
Oh my
but
God.
He sent me a tutorial.
Okay,
on
that's good.
Thing.
All right, great.
But, and I was,
finally.
Yeah, I know, right?
Finally, this guy pulls his weight.
But because he said, yeah, anyway, I just said, how? He's like, and he sent me a thing. Anyway,
right.
So I was like, you got to recast it. You know what I mean? Get someone cool, like get Glenn from The Walking Dead or whatever.
Mm.
But he could
get Glenn from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Exactly. Get one of the Glens.
Yeah.
But get Glenn close. But he could totally do it now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Seeing this, absolutely. Yeah. And it was just interesting, like, seeing interviews about him talking about Indiana Jones and the way that he was treated. And he said, like, it was a great experience. Like, he wasn't, like, he had experience. Because he's got it. He's from, I can't remember where he's from. But he's.
James, I'll tell you exactly where
Vietnam,
he's from.
I want to say.
He is born in Vietnam, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, he came over in, like, the late 70s, and then he didn't see his family for, like, a year because it was, like, you know, it's a whole process of getting everybody over. You can,
right.
do it all at once. And so he's got this amazing life, but he, you know, he had a good experience on those films and with Spielberg because Spielberg produced The Goonies. But then it just stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of happening.
And what is interesting about, and like you said, like, he's in without giving away too much, he does play different versions of Waymond, who is the character's name.
Yeah.
I was like, is he saying
yeah,
but it's Waymond, his name is Waymond.
Yeah.
And he can play kind of this kind of this doting kind of like wallflower husband.
Yeah.
But he can also be sort of a very kind of suave,
yeah.
kind of charismatic.
He's,
version of that.
He's almost as good as Jackie Chan in the movie The Tuxedo, where he has a tuxedo that makes him fight. And there's a bit of that in this, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Sort of. I haven't seen that movie. But he gets one particular action sequence with a fanny pack or a bum bag.
That's what we call it, yes.
From, which is really great as well. Jamie Lee Curtis is really good in this.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie Hsu, who plays their daughter, is really terrific in this. Yeah, it's very well cast all around. And there's some obviously great stunt people in it. So the fights in this, apparently it was choreographed by, there's a YouTube channel called The Martial Club, which I'd never heard of. And they're pretty well known, but you know, there's a billion YouTube channels.
And so they produce and they choreograph these fights.
Yeah, or a bunch of them. So they're like, they do Hong Kong inspired work on YouTube so there's been a bit of that where people start on YouTube and then they
have Corridor Crew gone to I don't think Hollywood?
I think they have, but I
probably
don't think,
too much money.
I don't think they need to now because they, you know, they, it's their own business.
Well, that's true.
And they run, like, they do D&D campaigns.
That's why we don't make movies.
That's true.
Because we've got this little business.
That's right, yeah.
Also, this movie was produced by the Russo brothers.
Yes,
I didn't know that.
That was another thing. So they met up with the Russo brothers and they were like, well, they're two people directing a movie together and we're two people directing.
I see, right.
And so they, I guess they connect on that level and they helped them with the script.
They rented two tandem bikes, cycled through a park with them and did a big important meeting on them.
Absolutely. Mm. So, that's cool, right?
Yeah.
And the Russos, no, they don't have a Netflix deal, or do they? Well, they have an Apple deal. What did Cherry go to? I didn't watch
that
it.
That went to Apple.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was a once-off.
Anyway, this movie is completely absurd, and you sort of have to – you're right, it builds in a way you – I don't think you, it would confuse you.
Yeah.
But I think you – I enjoyed it a lot.
It definitely could confuse
you. Yeah, I think it definitely could confuse. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot, and I wonder if in a different state of mind I'd be like, this is too silly.
Yeah.
But I thought it was very...
Oh, yeah, there's a bit of like, if you like Kung Fu Hustle or Shaolin Soccer.
See, exactly,
which I haven't seen. That's in that one. But there's a lot of that in
it. Yeah, I never liked Kung Fu Hustle.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan either. But I feel like I should watch that because I think I watched it when I was like 20 and I'm like, this is silly. But it's probably...
Pretty good.
I mean, it is silly, but it's probably amazing. So, but I think another strength of this movie is that it always comes back to like the core family and the relationship.
Yes.
And you don't, and you don't only get the relationships of like the people within the family and the regular dimension. Every other dimension is just important, just as important. And then but the dynamics in relationships, someone who's your enemy in one dimension might be the person you're married to in another dimension.
Right.
You know what I
mean?
So
yeah.
I think they walk that line really, really well. Yeah. Should we do spoilings?
Let's do spoilings. I think I'm going to say best movie ever.
You should say this.
Very good time. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, it's pretty long, but it's quick.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It's like 2 hours and 20. But yeah. I don't think you don't feel it.
And there's no post credits, so you can leave that's immediately. True. You cannot read any of those names. You can just
get out of there. We've already told you the Russo brothers produced it. What more do you need?
That's the only person,
who did all the different covers of Absolutely Story of a Girl.
So when they...
We're in spoilers now.
Yeah, we're in spoilers. Best movie ever. So there's a moment where they mention...
Waymond
says like, I know you feel like something's wrong. Your clothes never like feel right.
Wear as well the next day.
And your hair never falls in quite the same way. And I'm like, is that a fuck? Did you just...
Reference? Yeah, it's absolutely...
And then you hear the song later.
Keeps
I'm like,
coming back.
That wasn't a mistake. They did that on purpose.
There's like weird... So, okay, so...
I thought I misheard. I'm like,
no,
they did not just do like... Story of
it
a girl.
It keeps coming. Like I'm sure I missed a few as well, but I think so. Okay, so to explain this, what happens is the driving narrative of this movie is there is one central dimension called the Alpha Universe, the Alphaverse,
and that's central because
Evelyn found a way. Evelyn discovered alternate universes, and produced a device or a technology that enables you to
mind jump
into other universes, but her experiments on her daughter in that universe turned her into a dimension hopping
nightmare monster
creature
called Jobu Tupaki.
Yes. Yeah. And then Evelyn was killed in that universe, but Jobu keeps going from dimension to dimension, killing people and trying to track down all the versions of Evelyn, I think.
Seemingly to kill every one of them. Mm. But we find out later that she was just looking for somebody to be like, can you see what I see? And and everything is ludicrous.
So what can happen in the Alphaverse, people can transfer their consciousness into versions of themselves from other dimensions and operate in those dimensions.
Yeah.
But also they can... And once they're in those dimensions, they can build a little device, it seems, and put it in, like, mostly made out of, like, Bluetooth headsets, stuff like that. And you can, if you can figure out the probability, if you can...
You need to do a ridiculous thing to then slingshot into a dimension to get a skill which might be useful in the situation that you're in.
The device doesn't enable you to access the skills and memories and experiences of versions of you from other dimensions.
But to get to somewhere specific, you need to do a specific silly thing to get there.
Yeah.
So it might be eating a chapstick. It might be putting something in your bum.
But also, Evelyn discovers, because she is
the least successful and happy version of her.
Yeah, but she also discovers that you can just do random stuff.
Yeah,
and activate this device, and you will end up with random.
Yeah.
You'll end up with random skills from a random dimension. So, for example, you might have increased lung capacity.
Yep.
Or you might have increased dexterity with your feet because you've gone to a dimension where humans evolved to have hot dog fingers.
Yeah.
And not like hot dog-like fingers, but real hot dog fingers that have mustard and ketchup in them.
Yes. Have mustard and ketchup in them? Or was that? I know there was that in the movie that they were watching in the hot dog dimension, but we never see that in the real dimension.
No, I think
dimension.
We do. I think there's a scene where Jamie Lee Curtis bites her fingers off.
Okay, cool. Well, a lot of things happen in this movie.
Boy, didn't they, yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. So I think that's the kind of narrative, that's the kind of device you have to kind of get past, like do a silly thing to get to a dimension, to get powers. But also when you come back to a dimension, depending on who you are, you can physically take something with you.
Right.
So if you're powerful enough, like Joe Buttubaki, you can actually transfer physical, like you can make someone's head explode and turn into a confetti because they're from a confetti person universe.
Yeah, right.
And then you can physically bring that over, whereas not everybody can do that. But but the problem is with the villain is when you can see everything everywhere all at once.
Oh, that's nothing, the title of the movie. You,
nothing means anything.
Right.
And you're never really anywhere because you're experiencing fractions of reality.
Yeah, right.
But you can only really be present in maybe a couple at a time.
Right.
So, and everything else is just a blank. You can put a person on autopilot.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And just kind of have them just wander around and just be boring and plain. But you can never die because if something happens to you, there's an infinite number of you. And every time a decision is made, a branch in universe happens. So you can't not exist.
Yeah, right.
So it's this never-ending nightmare where you can't die and nothing means anything because there's an infinite amount of you, which means that nobody else means anything because there's an infinite amount of them. Mm. And you don't, you know, there's no small moments or anything.
It's quite existential when you think about it, isn't it? But luckily there's time for some kung fu as well.
And that's true. And they go to, the dimension where they're just rocks. with it turns around. It's also very funny.
Yeah.
There's a moment where the rock turns around and it's got googly eyes. That's not going to make sense if you haven't seen it. But that, like, there's so many little moments that are just really very funny about. One of my favorite dimensions was the raccoon Tui. So there's a moment where Evelyn mentions to her husband, you were being controlled from a version of you from another dimension, kind of like that movie Raccoon Tui. And it turns out there's a dimension where she is a chef in a teppanyaki restaurant where there's another really good...
They do like skill. They have the skills.
And where there's another chef who's really good who is doing Raccoon Tui. He has a raccoon...
Under his big chef's hat, yes.
Who's pulling his hair and making him be chef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But eventually she learns a valuable lesson because she is stubborn and she's always about fighting. Mm. What she learns is that what she learned from her husband, who she learns to appreciate more is maybe bend a little and instead of just beating everybody up, maybe
do nice things.
Do nice things.
You can do nice things across the various multiverses.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the end it's kind of implied that she's living this simple life. But it's also, she's not. She's
Was it
also,
all a dream?
I don't think it's that.
No, yeah.
But she's also, maybe actually.
Maybe. But maybe she died at the start, James, and all the rest of it was just her dying moments, you know?
Fine. You know what? I'd give it this. If it was that, I'd be like, all right. But I don't know. For me, the ending I think is bittersweet because they decide that like we're just going to, you know, I know everything is happening all at once all the time. But I can just have these little moments where I'm filing my taxes and I'm with my family and that's good. But you see... there's kind of this blank look on her face because maybe she's living all those other multiple lives at the same time.
Yeah.
And is that good or not good? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah. Anyway, it was good. I really liked it.
It's good, right?
Yeah.
It's good fun.
Sequel, Mason?
Probably not.
Post-credits?
Mm.
No, there's not a post-credits and they shouldn't be a sequel.
Here's a bit of fun for you.
Okay.
Randy Newman, uncredited as Chad's raccoon.
Like the voice?
The official soundtrack credits Newman as a featured artist on the track Now We're Cooking. So what Wikipedia
well,
said
makes
in
sense.
A wooden line.
You know, he's,
yeah.
he's a Pixar guy, isn't he?
Yeah. Absolutely it is.
God, they really made this budget go a long way.
Yeah, Jenny Slate is the
yeah, yeah, Jenny
Slate with the dog. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's
it.
That's
I don't
the review. Yeah, people should check it out. I mean, but yeah, it's interesting as well. Like, I also imagine there'll be some people who are like, I'm vague multiverse, I'm not on board. But
oh,
if
you could hate this. I could see going in and being like, I fucking hated that.
Yeah, right.
I can think of like 10 people off the top of my head who would hate this.
Are they all in your group chat?
Yes. Yeah. But they love the movie Goodfellas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's a good movie.
In a way, we're all the Goodfellas, you know, all of us
right.
in the group chat.
Yeah.
James, can you change the group chat title to A Bunch of Goodfellas?
I'm not in charge of the group chat title,
wow.
unfortunately.
Wow.
But what was I going to say? Would
I thought you were the alpha, but I guess you're more
of a
sigma.
I'm a sigma. That's right. Would you, like, recommend this to your parents, for example?
No, yeah. I don't think so.
Would you recommend it to my parents?
As a prank? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Give it a go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think even if you know this, all of this, and you haven't seen it, you can still go into this and...
Yeah, I think
I need to see it again because
yeah,
there's
just
so
the,
many...
I think even if you have been a little bit spoiled, if you were like, I'm not going to watch this, I'll listen to the review.
Yeah.
I think even us spoiling it a little bit it would be fine. I think there's enough in it, like character moments and funny stuff that I think would be worth it.
And just like, that's a pretty good fight scene.
Yeah.
Also, there's not that many fight scenes either.
No, and also interesting, most of this movie is set in like two locations.
Yes.
It's set in a laundromat and the IRS office.
Oh, and then other multiple dimensions.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, that's true. Yeah,
but yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And apparently that's a real like space that they rented. Like it's not a studio,
oh, yeah.
I think for the most part.
Mm.
And just they filmed everything around what they could physically do in a space.
Yeah.
Like, you know that stairwell bit?
Yes.
Where Jamie Lee Curtis jumps down the stairwell. I was watching a, you know, notes on a scene or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
They just happened to find a stairwell where there was like a room to the side of it where you could set up cameras. Because in an actual stairwell, you couldn't fit a camera in that room. And they're like, oh, do we build a stairwell? And it's like, oh, no, we found the stairwell where you can
film
this thing happening.
Wow. Oh, yeah. To get back to my original point.
Oh, sorry.
I think there's multiple versions of absolutely Story of a Girl in this movie.
Yeah, because there's some maybe in other languages and yes.
Who recorded those don't know. They're probably on the soundtrack though.
So. Maybe they are.
Yeah.
I didn't stay for the credits. I ran out of the theater, Mason, to tell everybody to see this movie.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah. Anyways, and then the next segment, et cetera.
Next segment we already of the podcast. Recorded all that. We did. Yeah, great. Cool. I keep going because I'm like, have we said enough? And I'm like, no, we did the rest of the podcast earlier.
It's done already.
Yeah.
My goodness. Do you hear that?
No.
Do you know what it's time for? Do you hear that when I said that?
I heard, but what was the thing? I did hear what you said then.
Yeah.
But I am a little bit concerned about the thing.
There wasn't anything prior to that. I was trying to riff and then you'd riff and then we'd go into the thing, but you just shot me down.
So your riff prompt was,
did you
name anything. Name any noise.
That's what they do with like, you know, the improv group might be like, give me a word, give me a name,
James,
give me a place.
James, you know how that's not how my brain works. My brain doesn't work at all. But like, you know when somebody goes, name a song, any song, and you're like, oh, no, I can't. I don't.
My brain always goes blur song too because it's got song in the
title. Oh, that's good. Yeah,
title.
Yeah.
Anyway, did you hear that?
Yes, it was the sound of the upcoming segment as it approaches on a big train.
Sure.
We're in a tunnel and it approaches on it's on like an old timey like steam train and it's on a little carriage, like an open air carriage that's in a box.
Yeah, okay,
we
great.
Open it up.
And here it is. And what is it? Wow,
it's the theme to what we read and what we're gonna read.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. I mean it's on mute, but now it won't be. I had plenty of time to unmute that.
I gotta get a Wario for this podcast.
Westworld.
Whoa.
Well, this is the segment of the show where we talk about things that we watched or read or listened to, don't we, Mason?
We sure do.
Have you got anything that you've been – isn't there a comedy show that you want to spruik?
Well, I was going to say, recently we mentioned Cam and Alexi on Total Reboot. We're on that show.
Boy, did we?
Cam is in Melbourne currently and he's doing a show called Electric Dreams.
Wow.
Which is it's a show all about the time he wanted to be a serious musician as a young man and he's just – I haven't seen it yet, but it's coming. It's this. If you're listening to this right now, it's coming out this week. It's him going on stage with his actual songbook all the songs he wrote.
Oh, wow.
Like when he was a teenager attempting to be a serious musician and just belt them out on stage.
That sounds incredible.
So it should be really good, yeah.
Excellent. How did your Do Go On episode go, Mason?
Very well. Thank you for asking.
I saw you met some people who were listening
to the show. I did, yes. Yeah. Yes, we had a grand old time.
Excellent.
Got some photos with some listeners
of
the podcast.
Did you sing some brews afterwards? Were you like, let's have some brewskis, everyone?
Yeah, I did, and everybody left. So I just, I was like, I've got 10 brewskis, folks. You're going to stick, oh, you've all left. Yes, I'm just going to drink all these brewskis by myself in a pub that's closed. That's what I did. But yeah, no, that was great. That will be out this week or next week. And we talked about, Jess did a lovely report on the behind the scenes of the movie The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Oh my God, a nightmare, right?
Right, yeah.
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 Oh, that's good. I'm looking forward to that.
Good times.
Wow, Mason.
Thanks for having me Do Go On podcast.
You're welcome. So Sonic, I watched Sonic the Hedgehog 2 with my son this week.
Yes.
It was all right.
Was it better or worse than the last one? All the same. The same.
Okay, well, terrific. It was better in the sense that there's more like Sonic stuff.
Okay.
It's more like focused on Sonic and him and Tails working together, and Knuckles shows up and whatever. Okay. Where I think it is not as good is that all the Jim Carrey stuff is pretty much him clearly shouting at nothing.
Okay, sure.
Like he's supposed to be interacting with Sonic and he's in a big floating whatever and he's like, no, I've got the power and I'm doing a dance. You know? Sure, yeah.
And does he dab or floss?
Yeah, all that kind of terrific stuff or whatever, someone. And it's just like, yeah, like he's good on his own, but I think it would have been better if he had literally anybody to play off.
Yeah, right.
Because the stuff with him and James Marsden, and they bring back like the guy who makes his lattes, like that's all fine, but it's mostly him just being like, no, I've got all the power in this room. I'm doing a dance now to celebrate. I'm doing a dance about it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is there some other? So there's a lot of flossing and what have you. Are there any other like dated pop cultural references?
Yeah, probably.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
You know, but again, like as a movie,
yes,
and it's the same with the first one. It is a kid's movie.
Yes,
and it is completely tolerable as a kid's movie. And my son loved it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got robots, like giant robots and adventure and speed and fighting and fun and danger and whatever. Yeah. But it's all very safe and...
Not too much fighting. Knuckles doesn't turn Sonic into a bloody pie.
No, but you know...
With his famous signature echidna sandwiches.
They make pretty much Knuckles...
he's got his echidna sandwiches.
He
gives Sonic an echidna sandwich.
A vetoing echidna sandwich.
That might be your last one, James.
It is, yes.
Oh my Worth God. It. And it's only April. Wow.
Could I earn another one?
Maybe. I don't know. We'd have to figure out a system, I guess.
So people don't know I've got two vetoes for the year to veto a riff.
No, you had three.
Oh, yeah, three. And the first one I can't remember.
Yeah, but then second one was Monkey.
And now the third one is a kidney sandwich. Wow. And I'm done. I'm shutting it down for that's me for the year. God, I'm going to regret that.
You sure are.
And they make Knuckles... He's Drax. He's like, I'm literal. I don't understand anything.
Oh, I honestly thought you meant Drax from Moonraker.
Yeah.
Hugo Drax.
Hugo Drax, yeah. So he's just like, oh, I don't understand metaphors. Or like, oh, I have to shake a hand. How does that work? Whatever. You know, shit like that, whatever. But again, if you've got like young kids, take him. Although there was a really young kid who was there. It was like four. He was like, had to go outside because he was upset at points. So maybe a bit older than that, I guess. You know your kids. Do whatever your kids like. Yeah. But you're going to say it?
No.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, when it's on streaming or something.
Yeah,
probably.
Again, and it's totally fine. And there's more video gamey kind of stuff, and there's like a maze he has to run through in the end, and it's very much like a Sonic kind of level with spikes and pits and whatever.
Very video gamey. Okay.
It's fun.
Look, I think if we were in kind of a dry spell in terms of movies that are coming out and Sonic was the only thing out, we would probably cover it extensively in the podcast like we did the last one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is a
big
month.
Also, we kind of thought that was going to be a disaster and it was an interesting lead up and how they changed it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where there's nothing as interesting about
That's true.
Though it is doing well. Like,
yeah.
And again, because it's fine.
It's what it's supposed
it's
to
exactly
be.
Exactly what it's supposed to be.
They didn't go, okay, well, let's take Sonic and just make him a regular man who operates in some sort of weird post-apocalyptic parallel dimension, New York City or whatever.
Yeah. It's like
he's a blue hedgehog. Well, let's make him.
They didn't
blue
do
hedgehog.
The Postman, but Sonic.
That's true.
Yeah, and that's a movie.
Mm-hmm.
What else have you been looking at?
I've been reading the most recent She-Hulk series.
Oh yeah, what's that one about?
So it's
got pushed to next year, didn't it? I saw that this week.
Oh, the TV series,
I think it might have been.
So it's, they're three issues in. It's written by Rainbow Rowell and illustrated by Luca Maresca and Jorge Antonio. And it's very much like it is the previous She-Hulk series was just called Hulk and it ended in, I think, 2018. And it was very much like here's what happens when there's vast psychological trauma, and here's what Jennifer Walters has turned into, and you know, this is real, this is big heavy stuff, and yeah, that's right. James is undermining what I'm saying with a shocked face.
No,
but that was big heavy stuff.
Yeah,
and this one is like definitively kind of back to basics.
Courtroom fun shenanigans.
She-Hulk. Well, we actually haven't had that many courtroom shenanigans yet, but it's very much. I think it is. If I had to guess, it's because it's gonna. It's supposed to be how the series is going to be. Like, okay, I think it's probably a signpost as how the upcoming TV series is going to be. It's very much, Jennifer Walters is capable but kind of mousy lawyer, but she can also change at will into She-Hulk, and she's, you know, powerful and fabulous and what have you, and she's dealing with various superhero legal, you know, little legal situations, and there's the occasional supervillain dust up kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's quite.
Could you do a big kick?
You can do a big kick.
Yeah, that's why.
It's also quite like if you are looking for a heavy action series, this is not it. At least so far, okay. It's more like a rom com kind
Nothing
of
wrong with
series.
That.
Like, yeah. She's the big mystery or the big sort of narrative of this is. Sort of a minor superhero character called Jack of Hearts, who we last saw off in deep space exploding and being a zombie, I think, has returned to Earth, and his powers aren't working. And he's like, oh, can I just crash at your place, Jennifer Walters? I'm so handsome. I'm so handsome. I've got a heart over my eye. Isn't that something?
Okay,
so
yeah.
It's very much like kind of like fun and lighthearted and great art.
Okay. So I know you're like, don't expect big punch-ups or whatever, but you like it.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Then
I think
that's
it's fun.
Great.
It's more just like a fun character based book as opposed to like. But I mean, again, we're only three issues in.
Yeah,
she's. I think in issue four she's going to deal with one of the Thing's legal issues. So I think there might be a big dust up. You know, those two and some villains will pop in and what have you. But it's good fun. Also, interestingly, she doesn't. This version of She-Hulk so far has not talked to the reader. So I don't think she. I don't know if this version.
Do you think that's they're getting people used to that for the. For the show, maybe.
I wonder if that is like again. I wonder if this series is signposting the TV series, which would suggest that in the TV series she doesn't talk to the viewer. Because if you don't know She-Hulk, famously, some versions of her are aware that she's a comic book character. Yep. So I have to wonder
which versions. Name them.
John Byrne version.
Yep.
Some other ones.
Very good.
Thank you.
You called my bluff.
I did
beautifully. I might add.
It was a beautiful bluff call.
It was. Did they ask you reading, or are you happy to move on to the next segment of the show?
Nope, that's it. Have you done any non-children's movie viewing or reading?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm watching. I've been working my way through some Star Wars video games, trying to find something good for Attack of the Clones for the video game.
Oh, yes.
Caravan of Garbage is, people won't believe me, it's 100% the Phantom Menace, the movie this week.
Mm.
The audio is all already at BigSound.co. The video will also go up there. The edit, the video I gave to Ben, the audio was 36 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And the Phantom, the Attack of the Clones video is going to be like 41, 42 minutes.
Whoa.
And we haven't recorded Revenge of the Sith yet. But, yeah, so Attack of the Clones games, there's not a game that's like a straight representation of the game. That's
is it?
Okay. It's not Lego or like Game Boy Advance.
Right,
and there
right.
are things like in and around that movie.
Yeah.
But there's, unlike the other two prequels, there's not like a... This is the Attack of the Clones game.
So most of the Attack of the Clones stuff is either like you said, handheld or like
or it's
within
Battlefront
a saga.
There's a The Clone Wars game that came out at the same time, and I tried it, and it's like it's not great or that interesting, and it's like bugged out and fucked. At the moment, like it's not interesting enough. So
we'll dig something.
I might do a combination of things. There's something really off the wall and bizarre I want to do, and maybe even just the new
a little dance.
Yeah, and maybe just that new Lego Star Wars one.
Yeah, okay.
I'm currently playing through that actually, which I might talk about more next week. And I'm not up to the bit with like the Attack of the Clones stuff, but I'll see if there's something there that maybe we can play together that we'll do as well.
Yeah. Well, this is good. All this patter is distraction from the fact that. We're actually doing a big trick. A big trick slash prank.
That's right.
No, we are. Look, well, alas, we are the boys who cried Batman Begins for 5 weeks in a row. So nobody believes us anymore. Well, they think we're doing a big prank. But
and
this
that's
is legit.
Fine. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people are right to think that. But again,
we will regain your trust
people like
for a bit and then we'll do another big
people
prank.
Like that Phantom Menace video game video, though, it seems.
That's good.
Except people who love Elon Musk inexplicably. And I'd rather. Let's get into it. Let's move it along, Mason. What's next?
James, next is the letters segment.
Oh, that's perfect.
Where we read out letters.
Yep. Both of us, together.
Together, yep, in unison. Yep. Here's the theme for it.
The
classic one was
letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
Another here right now, we're gonna do letters.
A lot of people have said, oh, also you should do Jedi power battles for the thing for
sure.
Uh-huh. We did it. We already did it.
We like sure
four,
did, yeah.
3 or 4 years ago. It's a pretty good video, I thought.
And so, we've done Masters of Teras Kasai, probably. Have we?
Yeah, we did it within a Darth Vader video.
Yeah, yes. right.
A defeating Darth Vader video.
Underneath, because
not that bad, that game. I mean, it's bad, but it's if you played anything from that era, it's like 90% unplayable now.
Yeah, very true.
Anyway, go on.
I was going to say, because I play the letters theme from YouTube every week from my phone, and they give me suggested videos underneath.
What do you got there?
And this one just says, Obi-Wan has PTSD. And it's a 5-minute clip, and it's got 12 million views.
Yeah, I've seen that.
What is it?
It's basically
I don't want to click it because it's 5 minutes.
Old Obi-Wan talking about like, oh, I knew your father, we were mates or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then it flashes back to like all the things that he did
with
sad music to it.
Right.
It's pretty well edited.
Okay, that's great. Well, no wonder it has 12 million views.
Yeah, 10 of those 12 million views are mine.
That's terrific.
So yeah, there you go. Now check it out. Add it to your watch later. Do you have a watch later?
Yes.
Do you have a YouTube account? What's your YouTube account name?
I don't know.
Are you logged in on the app is my question.
Yeah, I think so.
Tell me the name of your account.
I won't. I shan't do it.
Are you commenting on things?
Never. I never commented on anything.
Liking things?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Well, algorithm is more kind of skewed towards the length of time where you spend watching something.
Mm.
So, yeah, just apparently, who the fuck knows? Ask Mr. Beast. He knows what he's doing, I think. Anyway, Mason.
Ask Obi-Wan PTSD guy. He knows.
Okay, so this is a segment where people can write in and say, hello, I've got a suggestion or a question or something going on in my life.
A sequestion?
That's right.
They might
shoot a Gmail at weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
A sequestion?
Yeah, it's a question.
See, I can do this forever now
because
you can't veto anything anymore.
I think it's great. Why would I veto this?
Yeah.
This is your best joke ever, Mason.
Thank you.
Not a compliment.
but I'm taking it as a compliment. Sequestion.
weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
Email in with your questions, which is where you're asking a question, but actually you're just recommending something. And it's just, you know, those people, they're like, does anybody have any questions? Oh, this question's more of a comment.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stand here for 2 minutes and just say my piece and everybody's going to get bored and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then the person I'm talking to is just going to have to say, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But that is great, actually.
Thanks for your participation. So weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com if you do want to shoot the word sequestion or hashtag Weekly Planet Pod on Twitter. What do you got, Mason, this week?
This is from Falsey.
Hello, Falsey.
They say, I dreamt that I was a concert performance of the various songs from your podcast, and when it came time for what we read and what we're going to read, James did not say Westworld, and I was apoplectic. Stormed out of the venue in a fit of rage, and then I woke up. You have broken me. Congrats. Mission accomplished.
We did.
Yeah.
We broke this dude's brain.
Pretty good, right?
I'm sorry.
I don't always read out dreams, but if they're very good, that's great.
Yeah.
And also, I just love the idea of we all go to Hamer Hall for like a Melbourne Symphony Orchestra
renditions
of our various theme
songs. And
then
it comes to that bit, I'm like, no, I'm not doing it.
Oh, I don't
do that anymore.
the spotlight swings over to just a rickety wooden chair, and you're not in it. Or you are in it. What would you prefer?
I'd rather be in it. And you'd be like, no.
No.
It's all people ever want from me. I have other abilities, you know.
You want me to do it, I won't do it. No.
You know what? If we ever did it, if that scenario ever presented itself,
sure,
I wouldn't do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. But I think that's because you're chicken.
Yeah, maybe.
There'd be too many people watching.
I got a tweet here from David Meyer, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. We should do more live shows, but they're really stressful, Mason.
Yeah.
Let's not do any, actually.
The best part about doing the Dugo on live show is there were 3 other people there who were all professional comedians.
You could just stop talking
minutes
at a time.
I did.
Yeah, there you go.
I did it for 40 minutes. I stopped talking.
Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod from David, who says, with Jurassic World Dominion coming out about humans and dinosaurs in the world together, what if they were building to Dino Riders movie? The cartoon from the 80s. I think they are building towards riding dinosaurs.
Yeah, right, yeah.
100%.
Is this going to, is this for now the last one?
Yeah, I think it's capping off this trilogy. But I think there was a featurette or whatever this week as well. Did you see? They're like, it's good to be back to Jurassic Park.
Mm.
Even though Sam Neill's like, why would I go back to a dinosaur island? But now they're in the world. So
that's
it
right.
makes sense that Sam Neill would be involved with dinosaurs again.
I really wish they'd gone with that human DNA dinosaur hybrid thing, and
they're
running around carrying guns. But I don't know if they ever would, just because
they're supposed to be majestic.
They're supposed to be majestic, and I think I kind of feel like the people who make the decisions about this franchise, they feel like that is a bridge they can't cross because it turns it into like weird beat sci-fi B movie.
Yeah.
If it's just like these dinosaurs are beautiful and majestic, like you said, then it's still classy cinema.
Yeah,
like because they've had plenty of opportunities to genetically engineer a cool dinosaur.
Yeah,
it's always just like, I guess it's got sharper claws and it's taller. It's a bigger T-Rex, but it's got bigger arms.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
Pretty good, right?
Yeah, I'd see a Dino Runners movie though. Show that I didn't really watch, but I remember seeing the toys and being like, oh my God, this is legit. This is the best idea anyone's ever had. Mason, what else have we got in terms of
Another email.
Well, while you're doing that, I can do this from Amy, who says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. It says, please fucking talk about this on hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Tim Burton, and that is that linking to Tim Burton developing a Mars Attacks sequel movie.
Oh.
Mars Attacks famously.
Yes.
Okay, it didn't do well, and
correct,
people didn't
yes.
like it. They were like, this is so bizarre and odd, and the cast is phenomenal.
And
as
based
well.
On baseball cards, I think.
Is it?
Well, I mean, there were certainly Mars Attacks cards.
Yeah.
Let me look it up real quick. I'm just going to...
It got 55% Rotten Tomatoes. It had a budget of $70 million. It made $101 million. So with marketing, it wouldn't have made its money back. But it had Jack Nicholson, Glenn Close, Annette Bening, Pierce Brosnan, Danny DeVito, Martin Short, Sarah Jessica Parker, Michael J. Fox, Tom Jones, Natalie Portman.
Mm.
Jesus. Jack Black's in it.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Based on the top.
Ray J's in it, famous for Raycons.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So there you go.
That's great. Based on the Topps trading card series of the same name.
There you go. Okay. So, yeah, it's like a weird B-movie throwback kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't actually think I've seen it. I just remember, like, people's heads being stuck to dogs and stuff and whatever.
Yeah, I have seen it, and it's, I don't know, I think I remember being very hyped to see it.
Yeah.
But the end result was not as, it's not as good. I don't know. I think I went into it being like, oh, this is a wacky novelty. I bet it'll be fun. Wasn't that much fun?
Oh, okay. Well, that's no good. Yeah. Have you got another letter for us?
Find another letter.
Oh, while you're doing that, I've got another tweet here from Harry.
So many tweets.
Harry Mooney, who says, hey, Mr. Sunday Movies and Wikipedia Brown, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. My fiance is watching Space Jam, A New Legacy at 8 a.m. on a Friday. What an absolutely useless loose unit. Wish her luck. Yeah, good luck. How did that happen? My goodness, 8 a.m. on a Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
That's great.
I think you should just look out for her.
Yeah.
To see if she's
when
okay.
When is the perfect time to watch a Space Jam sequel?
Ever.
Absolutely sure, yes. That's
if you,
right.
If you don't have to watch it, never watch it is my motto. Yeah. Mason, I'm going to throw to you again.
Okay.
Do you have another?
This is from this is from Sugar Fang Gaming.
Oh.
He says, howdy.
Howdy to you.
I was doing some thinking the other day, and I had the thought that a good idea for Caravan of Garbage or a Weekly Planet podcast would be The Adventures of Superman, starring George Reeves, and the Hollywoodland movie about the life and death of George Reeves.
Not bad, yeah.
I reckon it could be interesting or not. I don't know. I'm not a professional YouTuber.
Well, yeah, we're pretty much, I think we're out of Superman movies, except for Supergirl.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, definitely. I've never seen Hollywoodland either, so I think watching a bunch of that would be interesting.
Is it out of our wheelhouse? I have seen it. I feel like it might be. But
I mean, I think in the context of the show.
That's true, it would be
interesting.
Yeah,
you know
I guess
I mean?
You're probably right.
And then
you could
put Ben Affleck in the thumbnail to do super well based
it's very
on that.
True, yeah.
It's actually excellent branding that this person has
you
sent
could do,
over. Who
you
sent
could,
this over?
Sugar Fang Gaming.
Perfect.
But you could do...
That's good branding too.
You could do Ben Affleck body in the Superman suit, head, sad Ben Affleck smoking a cigarette. You know that one when he's just standing outside in the rain or whatever and he's wearing a sweatshirt and he's smoking a cigarette?
The range of like the way that guy looks is amazing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like he can look just the worst and then he can look incredible. You know what I mean? I guess that's like all of us. But he's like much more.
That's true.
Much more famous and good looking.
But I think most of us pick up like a sensible middle ground.
Where we
always look kind of okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is from Spoopy who says,
ooh.
In honor of Raimi directing Multiverse of Madness, please do a commentary for Darkman next month. Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. I would love that actually.
Yeah.
Do you want to do Darkman?
Let's do Darkman,
yeah. Yeah, cool.
It's on our list.
Yeah.
Darkman's very good.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know if it is very good. I remember enjoying it a lot when it came out.
Yeah, I don't even know if I've ever seen it fully. I think I have. I don't know.
But God, it's Liam Neeson at the fairground.
Colin Friels.
Colin Friels.
Australian actor. Yeah. Anything else, Mason? Because I've got one more quick one just
give
to go.
Give me 1 second.
All right, I'll just read this one quickly from Jason, who says, it's from Jason Magic Historian. Sonic is from
his name is Jason Magic Historian?
Yep.
Or his name's Jason, he's a magic historian.
It's Jason, Magic Historian.
Oh, that's exciting.
I agree. Sonic is from the planet Mobius. I didn't know that.
Okay, great.
Does that extend to Monthbius? Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Look, Monthbius is self-sustaining at this point.
That's true.
It is beyond my reach to shut down Monthbius. Yeah. Monthbius outside of this podcast.
Oh, that's true, actually,
like in the Great Mates group on Reddit, on Twitter. I can't stop Monthbius. It's like when someone creates an iconic comic book character and it grows beyond them. You know what I mean?
That's true, yeah.
And what they do or say cannot affect what they have done.
That is very true.
Yeah. So it's out of my hands.
What I should have done is I should have really pushed Echidna Sandwich to the point where I'm not doing Echidna Sandwich right now. I'm talking about in the aftermath of Echidna Sandwich. What I should have done is I should have really pushed the bit every week and then it could have become self-sustaining. That's my mistake. Mm. You know?
What about for every one bit of news you don't bring?
No.
I mean, it's less work for you.
If every one bit of news I don't bring, you get another veto. Yeah. No, I don't. That doesn't
what
sound good
like
to me.
Five for one.
No, I don't like it. No.
10?
No. That wasn't the rules. you had 3 vetoes to spend wisely. And right. It's merely April.
Exactly. All right. Anything else?
Ooh, this is from James.
Hello.
Knight Rider reboot.
What? When? Why?
I don't know. Dear James and Mace, I've been listening to the podcast for a few years now and love the show. You helped me get through my drive to work in the Texas heat and I can't wait for the Snake Eyes review.
Oh, me too.
I've been watching Knight Rider lately since I found it on Netflix and it has reminded me how much I loved the show as a kid. I was wondering if you two were in charge of rebooting Knight Rider today, how would the show be different? It could not just be a cool guy in his awesome car. Also, who would you cast for the David Hasselhoff role?
God, what Knight Rider.
Because they've attempted it numerous times. There was Knight Rider 2000, which was the TV movie where they put old Knight Rider into a cool new future car in the year 2000.
And then there was
that reboot series where the
guy was the best at everything.
Yeah, that was the problem with that show, is that they were like, this guy's a cool guy and you're going to think he's a cool guy.
Yeah, you think he's a cool guy.
I don't know if David Hasselhoff's character was built from the ground up to be a cool guy. Like he had a cool sort of 80s cool, and I'm sure they were like, we want a character that people will respect.
He's cool, but it wasn't like, look how cool this guy is.
Yeah, which was the reboot. I don't know if that's on a streaming platform or anywhere.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe get an uncool guy.
Okay.
Get Jay Baruchel.
Yeah, you do a Jay Baruchel. I don't mind that. Yeah. Do you regular guy?
What if you make the car cool?
Yeah.
Like you give the car a cool personality.
Yeah.
And the guy's a real dweeb.
Or opposite. The car's a dweeb.
That's how it was originally.
No. Is it?
Yes.
It's an uncool car.
Oh, I see what you mean. I meant their personalities.
No, I mean like it's the car that's like that. This guy's got three. It's like that.
Cybertruck?
Yeah, it's like Mr. Bean's car.
Yes. Oh, and he has to ride it from the roof? Maybe.
So it's a cool guy
and
saddle.
And the problem with the other Knight Rider, the reboot, is it was a car that could transform into any other car. And it was like, oh my God, and it had so many cool. And it had force fields and it was invulnerable and it could shoot lasers or whatever. It's too much stuff.
I reckon
simplify it.
Yeah.
I reckon the car is cool. Like it's got a cool personality and the dude is a dweeb.
Yeah.
And... oh, but no, they did that with Transformers, didn't they?
Well, that's true. Who cares?
Yeah.
That's
true. But he's like, he's a real, like, the car has to, like, get this dude through social situations. And he's like, we'll start slow. We'll go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and see if you can manage that. And then after that, we'll see if we'll help you ask out a girl. Then we'll stop some bank robbers.
Oh, beautiful. That's great. You've solved the Knight Rider conundrum.
Yeah.
Executives have been trying to tackle for years. Just boardrooms filled with like screwed up paper and, you know, and whiteboards just with insane scrawlings on
it. You joke. But what's easier for them, rebooting Knight Rider or coming up with a piece of original material in any way?
What are you talking about, Mason?
Yeah, you're right.
The first thing.
The first thing is definitely better, yes.
All right, is that the show?
That is the whole show, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for telling your friends about the podcast, because that's how we get more listeners.
It's true, actually.
Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for leaving a 5-star review on any podcasting platform of your choice. Once again, that's how it pops up on people's podcast catches, and they go, what's this? Maybe I'm going to give this a go.
What blessings, wouldn't you say, Mason?
Many blessings.
Agreed. And also, like, people love reviewing the show, don't they, I think?
They do, yeah.
Like this one from Boba's Bounty, who gave us 5 stars and said, amazing pod. After Harmontown finished up, I was looking for a new podcast to fall in love with, and these couple of great mates did it for me. So much so, after listening to a few episodes, I've decided to listen to them from the first episode. The origin of the theme song and the running gags of the show have been some of my favourite parts to discover. I sing Westworld out loud every time for What's We Gonna Read for the segment, and that comes on since the inception of the theme. And I will continue until I hear the first time James sings it out loud for the first time. Keep up all the fun comic book news, you guys. Loving it. That's from C. Thompson. Thank you so much, C. Thompson.
We will keep it up.
And this is from Defot9, who says, good podcast. I don't even listen to this. It just radiates good podcast vibes. But no, seriously, it's the only podcast I listen to because nothing else compares. Thank you so much. So kind and generous.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it.
We appreciate it, bro.
Appreciate you all. I'm doing a dab right now, aren't I, Mason?
Yes, he's doing a dab.
How was it, though? Thank you for coming with me on that.
Now he's doing all kinds of crazy dances.
No, I'm not.
No, he's doing very elaborate dances.
I'm not doing any dancing.
He's doing so many. Just he's inventing his own dances.
Are they good?
They're bad dances.
Oh, no.
They're bad
you
dances.
You can at least tell people they were good dances.
No, they were bad. Folks, if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod at Gmail, at Facebook, at Twitter, at Bandcamp. You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. You can go to the Weekly Planet Pod subreddit and Discord.
Yes.
People having great fun over there. Podcast chats, pop culture chats, all kinds of chats. Having a nice time or else.
Wow. I love all that, Mason, the things
I love
said.
It. I love it too. If you want to follow some people on Twitter, you can follow our great pal Rob Collings. He's at Raw Collings on Twitter.
Is he?
At The Weekly Planet on Twitter. He keeps this whole situation moving.
Does he?
Yes.
It's true.
That's right. He's doing dances you've never seen before, and guess what? They're great.
Oh, come
They're
on,
They're incredible
mate.
Dances.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy for him, but at the same time.
Yeah. Where does he find the time to invent these dances?
I don't know. Yeah.
But he's damn. You can follow me on Twitter at Wikipedia Brown.
I can't even be mad. You know what I mean?
Right?
I'm just happy for him, I guess.
Yeah. You can follow me on Instagram at Nick Maso. You can follow James on every platform at Mr. Sunday Movies. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. You can chuck in a buck or any small amount.
Keeps
the lights on in here. Keeps the bloody all the various recording devices mostly working, it seems.
It seems that way, doesn't it? If you heard this, it's working.
That's right. You can also sign up to bigsandwich.co. All kinds of bonus podcasts, early videos, movie commentaries. Having a great time over there. We're going to record one after this, I think.
We certainly are, Mason.
The one about clickbait where you get mad.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right.
That's right. Thank you to The Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all the musical themes. You can buy T-shirts on TeePublic if you want. Just go to teepublic.com, search for The Weekly Planet. There's probably a bunch will come up.
Probably a bunch there.
Some legit ones, some weird ones.
Yeah, whatever. Just get whatever. We don't care.
That's right. Do what you feel like. If you need a don't buy one because you're like, well, I should.
Oh, no. Just get one.
Buy
one
if you need a T-shirt,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
If the T-shirt you're currently wearing is like has like a bunch of like raggedy holes in it.
Yeah, or some poo on it. Just get a new one.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I mean, I guess you could throw that in the – you could wash that, I guess.
Yeah, no, I get a T-shirt though. Again. Yeah, cool. All right. That's it, isn't it?
That was a good riff though. I respect the you went with what if there was poo on a T-shirt. I think that's really good.
You're welcome.
That's good.
Yeah, Collings has got dances, but I got riffs, you
that's
know?
Right, yeah. Hell yeah.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Next week, what about this?
Yep.
What about the movie Ambulance?
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that.
I hear cinematography-wise, it's very good.
There's a lot of drones. Yeah, I heard that.
But too. Also, Michael Bay movies cause me physical pain at this point.
Great.
So it's a bit of a toss-up. Right, but let's give it a whirl and see if a non-Transformers movie from Michael Bay will upset me or not.
I would love that.
Terrific.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Grab that jam, you guys. We'll see you next week.
And goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.